This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Last week, Wes Moore, part of our preaching team, as I am, did a great job unpacking a really important passage of Scripture about Saul's conversion. How many here were here for that last week? By show of hands, we're here. Okay, most of us, both those hands, thank you. So he did a great job of unpacking that, and he gave us an application. An application in the form of a 3x5 note card. You guys remember this? And so the reason why he talked about this is because he talked about Saul being just such a there's no way Saul could ever follow Christ. There's no way. And so Wes led us in a procedure of getting a note card and putting on one side of this card someone who we know is the most evil person in the world alive today, that we could pray for that person. And then on the flip side of that card, put down somebody that you personally know, maybe not the most evil person in the world, but someone that you personally know that doesn't know Jesus yet. And so as I thought about that, I scripted down a name, and I've been thinking about this all week long, and I wanted to bring it back to our attention because it continues with our lesson today as we're going to be looking into Acts chapters 10 and 11. So if you have your card, you know, don't let that go. Don't let those names go. Keep lifting these names up to heaven. And today, I hope that we can see a little bit closer about what Jesus has for us with these names. Because as Wes said last week, no one is beyond the gospel. No one is beyond the gospel because Jesus sees beyond our ugliness. And we all have some ugliness. Saul had his ugliness. Different evil people throughout this world have their ugliness. And certainly I and you have our ugliness. And praise be to God that He does not exempt us from His grace. You know, I've got a question for us as we begin our passage here today. Why did missions begin? As I looked through this passage, I thought of that question over and over again. Why did missions even begin? And I think our passage is going to help us understand that a bit better. You know, we are told, and as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have a great story to share, that it's upon us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in our life. And I want to share with you a couple verses about that. Early in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That word witnesses is really called storytellers. It's another word for storytellers. You can tell the story of how Jesus impacted your life. Jesus, in Matthew 28, after he died and rose again, he gives the great commission to his disciples. And Jesus says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Another example from Jesus himself telling us to go and share this good news of the gospel. Last verse I want to share with us is from Matthew 22, which when some people ask Jesus what were the most important commandments, Jesus responds by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Matthew 22, verse 37. That's the first and greatest commandment. But Jesus, in all of his wisdom, knowing what we would do with that, he added on another one to make sure that we don't just stay in our holy little huddles, staring at our little navels, looking down only at us. Jesus says, that is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. So three quick examples from Jesus himself sharing about how important it is for us to go and share the gospel to the world. How important that is. And I hope through today we're going to be able to see why that's how that's played out. I want to think about a list of potential barriers for us. Each one of us are going to have different barriers to sharing Christ with one another, sharing Christ with our family, with our friends. For some of you, it may be a professor. Some of you, it may be your neighbor. It can be really challenging to share with your neighbor because you look at them and they have everything that they could ever want and need. They have no want. The pantry is full. The refrigerator is full. The boat is outside and a big truck to pull that boat up to a big lake by their big cabin. You know, there's no need as you look at these people and say, man, how are they ever going to feel a need for Jesus? There's a list that I think God put upon my heart about things that I struggle with. And maybe you do as well. The first one being, maybe we have fear. Maybe fear is a barrier to us sharing Christ. You know, the fear of maybe being rejected. Maybe the fear of now it's going to always be awkward between us at family reunions. The fear of looking over the fence and looking at the person because they have rejected what you've had to say. Maybe you just don't have any confidence in your ability to unpack the gospel to somebody who doesn't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe time is a barrier for you. Maybe it's just like, I just don't have time to invite my friend who, my neighbor. Let's take my neighbor who made a passing comment with her stroller as she's rolling down the street. And she asks, you know, hey, what time does your church meet? We need to get in there for little junior here. We need to get into church. But maybe you don't have time to bring that person into your home and say, you know, I'd like to share with you about Jesus. We can do that here in our own homes. Why don't you read John chapter 1, and we'll connect later this week about questions you may have about it. But maybe you don't have time to do that. Maybe you're not prioritizing the time to do that. Maybe it's unconfessed sin. Maybe unconfessed sin for you is a barrier because it's hard for you to imagine to talk to somebody about their need to repent and confess when maybe it's been quite some time since you have confessed, since you have repented from your sins. And so just like donut grease is thrown out into the donut grease dumpster, out behind the donut shop, where no one likes to hang around. They like to hang around the cabinet with the pretty donuts. But what makes those donuts what they are is that donut grease, and they pour it out into that dumpster time after time, layer after layer. And for a lot of us, that can be what unconfessed sin is like. It's just another layer of sin, another layer of sin, followed by another layer of sin. That desensitizes us to the things of the Holy Spirit. That desensitizes us to the great hope that we have in Jesus. That Jesus is the answer. That Jesus is the hope for all mankind. Unconfessed sin can really dull our senses for our own vitality with Jesus, but also for those around us. And we can become numb. We're going to learn through today that maybe there's political preferences that keep you as a barrier that keeps you from sharing Jesus. Maybe cultural preferences, as Scripture is going to illustrate today. Cultural preferences can keep us away by we don't associate with those type of people who smoke cigarettes. We don't associate with those type of people who vote the certain way. We don't associate with those type of people that hang out at this time of night or that time in the morning. There could be political and cultural preferences that keep us from sharing the gospel. And maybe even ageism, where we discriminate against people because of their age. Because they're 14 or 24 or 84 or 47. We can discriminate. And maybe these barriers are keeping us from sharing Jesus. But hopefully we're going to see in today's passage just about how people are overstepping these barriers by the grace of God. I want to tell you about this man that we just heard Steve and Janine Holman read very well to us. This man named Cornelius, and I like Cornelius. I like Cornelius a lot. As I read about him, I would want to be friends with Cornelius. This guy, he was a Roman centurion. Now, he was a Gentile, which means he was a non-Jew. Okay, so he was God-fearing. He was God-fearing. And so I look at this as a story as we got to hear about it. This is impactful to me because I'm not a Jew. I've got English in me. I've got a little bit of, you know, Norwegian, a little bit of Scottish in there, but mostly I'm Italian. I've got a quarter of Italian. And so my boy here, the Italian stallion, Cornelius, I can relate with this guy. I like this guy. He's a family man. He's a God-fearing man. And he teaches his family godly things. As we read through Scripture, he was really well respected amongst the synagogue, amongst the world of the Jews. He was very well respected, but yet not yet a Jew. He probably didn't go all the way through to the point of circumcision. He was a God-fearing man, though. He was devout. He was devout, meaning that he was praying continually. Think about that. And think about this hard, because you have choices. You have choices today, moving forward, today and tomorrow and the day after that. Cornelius is a man, this is how he was remembered, as a God-fearing man, a devout man, who prayed continually. And this is when God spoke to him, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at the ninth hour. God spoke to him through an angel. But think about that for you. I'll never forget, in this room, I don't know how long it's been, 5 or 6 years ago, a man by the name of Jim Weber was honored in this room at his funeral, his memorial. Had people come all the way from Japan to pay their condolences to the family because he had influenced these people in Japan so much. You see, Jim and Dorothy Weber, they were missionaries of our church, and they went to Japan to share the gospel. Way back in like the 50s, when they had to get there on a freighter, they had to put their stuff on a freighter and get, it took like 2.5 weeks to get to Japan, going across the ocean. Well, anyway, a great story was shared about Jim. All of his grandchildren, adult grandchildren, are up here on the stage, right here, and they're all laughing and giggling about remembering Jim. And one of the things that they remembered best about Jim, this man in the middle here, he started talking about, it's like, he started getting choked up. And he says, I don't know if you guys remember this about Jim, about Grandpa. I don't know if you remember this about Grandpa. But do you guys remember when we would have sleepovers at their house? And they're all laughing. 6 or 7 of them up here laughing and loving Grandpa. Do you guys remember how we'd be in bed at night and we'd all be trying to go to sleep and trying, and they would come in and tell us to be quiet and everyone was giggling and laughing. Like, but do you remember when we finally got quiet? Do you remember the floorboards outside of our door, our closed door? Do you remember those floorboards creaking? Creaking and creaking? That was Grandpa praying over his grandchildren. This is how Jim Weber is remembered by me and by many who attended his memorial. He was a prayerful man. He was a devout man, just like Cornelius. This was the man that we're talking about here in the Scriptures, of that Cornelius was well respected amongst the Jewish synagogue. And he loved to do good deeds. He loved to do good deeds. You see, Cornelius was a person seeking after God. And I think people seek after God. And he was demonstrating this by giving of his alms, that they called, which is that he would give money to the poor. So not only was he devout, not only was he God-fearing, but he also gave of his money. And yeah, he was much more wealthy than a common soldier. He made 5 times the amount of money than a common soldier. He was in a managerial leadership role, Cornelius. And many people looked up to him and respected him. And if you hear in this story, he had friends. That tells me that he's friendly. If somebody has friends, that means that they're friendly. It's a person that I want to be around. So Cornelius was God-fearing and a lover of good deeds. And I see a lot of people who today identify with these things. Yes, there's people who give money and give of their time. And millennials love to give to social action, social justice, love to give of their time and serve. Millennials have lots of time to give and serve because they don't have jobs yet, and so, but they will someday. But my first point being, people are seeking God. Do you think that's a good point? Do you agree with that point as you look around? I kind of disagree with my first point. Today, as you think about somebody who's wanting to connect with God, what day do you think that they would choose? Sunday? They would choose Sunday. At what time? Right about now. Do you know how it's estimated in a city of 150,000 people like Fort Collins is? Our city, a network of churches got together and reported their numbers a few years ago. And they anticipate, like on a Sunday like today, there's going to be about 15,000 to 18,000 people attending churches on a Sunday. Out of a city of 150,000 people. So that means there's people who don't go to church, right? And you know those people. I know those people. I drive by all their houses in my neighborhood. It's nobody's moving when I come to church. You know, they're thinking on a Sunday, they're thinking like, I'm going to sleep in late. They're getting up about now, and they're starting to scratch, and they're starting to stretch, and they're moving out to their front porch, and they're going to have a nice hot cup of coffee, and they're going to look across the street at the weeds growing across the neighbor, and they're going to feel good about their own nice tidy lawn, and they're going to go about their day how they want to go about their day. The idea of coming to church for them, to come into church and be with people that they don't know and to sing songs. Where do you go to sing songs but church? And so why are we singing songs? And then I'm going to listen to a guy for like 35 minutes talk, just keep talking. And then you want me to pay for it? It's a bit foolish, you know, because it's like, you know, Cornelius was in the synagogue. He was in the church. But the angel came to him and said, you need to send for Peter. And the story develops there. Peter comes because he needs to reach somebody who's inside the church with the gospel. So the answer isn't necessarily just to go to your neighbors and invite them to church. The answer is to bring the gospel to your neighbors, to bring the gospel to the nations, to bring the gospel to your family. And that's what God is doing here. So while I look at this point, people are seeking God, I put it in there because Scripture is there. It's Cornelius is in the Scripture, and I need to be obedient to what Scripture says. But I do also believe that occasionally there are people who are seeking for God. And maybe you know some of them. There are people who are seeking God. There are people who are scratching that, you know, putting that out there, putting that little flag out there saying, hey, we need to get to church for him. Maybe that's the beginning point. There are people searching for God. Even though you can become so drowned in depression thinking that people are disinterested in God, because many, many people are disinterested in God. They're bored with the thought of God or religion or church. It's the, out of 500 priorities on a Sunday morning, it's probably at 500 for many people. But people are seeking God. Secondly, I want to put that God removes barriers. He does remove barriers. And we're going to see here about how God used Peter, speaking to Peter, about removing those barriers. If you look in your scriptures with me, chapter 10, verse 13, Peter says, or Scripture says this, and there came a voice to him. This is Jesus speaking, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. Now this needed to happen three more times for Peter to get it. And the thing was taken up at that place. Now, Peter was with Jesus when Jesus was speaking to this cleanliness issue in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 20. The Pharisees were complaining about how Jesus and the disciples were eating without washing their hands. And he called the people to him and said to them, Jesus says, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came to him. And you can just see these disciples. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Peter's not getting this, even with Jesus in front of him. Are you also still without understanding? Did you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. Folks, let us look at our hearts. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These, Jesus says, are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Jesus was beginning what God is doing here in overturning the old clean and unclean distinctions of the Jewish law and the dietary and the ceremonial laws. Jesus was fulfilling all of those with his sacrifice. You know, nothing was to get in the way of fellowshipping with the Gentiles. God wanted to remove that barrier for them. He wanted nothing to prevent them from fellowshipping with the Gentiles. Verse 28 in chapter 10, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. That practice that Peter's talking about is something that the men, the Jewish men, they had added to the law. It wasn't even given by God, but they added that they should not even associate or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me, Peter says. This the music should build behind this scripture at this point. Something big is happening at this point. God has shown me, Peter, who has always observed the law. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. And this should inform us to other people in this nation that no one is beyond the reach of the gospel and the world. This should inform us. This should inform our actions about how important it is to support missions, to be a sender, and to be faithful in going. This should inform us that we are to love our brothers and sisters, regardless of their color of their skin, regardless of the age of them, regardless of how too skinny they are or too overweight they are. This should inform us and say, God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. You know, Peter had a long time to walk and think about this, what's going to happen. From Joppa to Caesarea, they're going to walk along the coast, 31 miles. These three men came from Caesarea to get Peter, 31 miles. It's 31 miles back. And if he's walking 3 miles an hour, that's a 10-hour walk. And that's some time to think about what's going to happen. I'm going to enter this Gentile home. And they're going to want me to say something. Peter says in verse 29, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius goes on and explains about this angel that came and visited him and how he's told him to send. And so now Peter's putting it all together and he's like, these people need to hear the gospel. And so Peter just unloads. And it says that Luke probably summarized these verses 34 through 43. But that's a picture of the gospel. That's the framework. That's the outline of what he's sharing with not just Cornelius, but all of his members, all of his family. All of his friends, the house is full. They've all gathered around because Cornelius is a strong leader and he's led these people into his home to say that you've got to hear this message. I've been with an angel and he told me to send for this guy and he's coming and he's here. And Peter delivers. Peter shares in verse 34 something that's really important, again, that supports what 28 says. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." God shows no partiality. You're human. I'm human. I'm going to share with you the good news of Jesus. And he goes forward and he does that. So, can we bring up that list of boundaries again? And think for us again. I don't want to rescue us from what Jesus is speaking to each one of you individually. Because it's not just open to the officials, the Peters of the world, to share the gospel. As I read to you those three passages that Jesus gave us early on, that we are to go and share the good news of Jesus. But what is the barrier to us, each and every one of you? To me, as well, this message comes. Is it fear? Is it time? Is it unconfessed sin? Do we have our cultural barriers, our racial barriers, our political barriers, age barriers? So I want you to not get yourself off the hook on this one. This one is for you to, and maybe there's something else they don't have listed, but I want you to think and pray about what it is that you can offer to God to release you, to free you up, to share the good news. When somebody asks about a good restaurant you've been to, do you have a problem saying that? You list it off. What's your favorite NFL football team? You list it off. What do you like to do in your leisure time? You list it off. What do you like to do on Sunday morning? I like to worship with all my best friends. We like to worship Jesus. You list it off. Why would you do that? Because he touched my heart. I felt him go in there. My last point, people proclaim the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter demonstrates that 34 through 48 for us. And I love how he started off with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth. Let us have confidence in that. Just open your mouth. Just open your mouth. Be faithful to that. This past week, this past few weeks ago, a dear sister of ours in this church was going in for a procedure, a medical procedure, and she had three nurses on top of her, poking her and prodding her and doing all these sort of things, prepping her for this surgical procedure. And one of the nurses starts talking about how scared she is about North Korea and everything after that, just fear. And so her dear sister's laying on the table getting poked and prodded and prepped. And she starts telling him about, "Oh, I don't fear that at all. You know, my trust is in Jesus Christ. And he'll make everything happen." And she goes on and just talks about how much she loves Jesus and how much trust she has in Jesus to these three strangers, these three nurses. Yeah, and if you'd like to hear more about that, you know, you should come to my church. I really love my church. It's Life Point Church, 9:30 in the morning, blah, blah, blah. One of the nurses came to church the next week. Yeah. And God's not finished with that. God uses these type of examples all the time in our lives, does he not? And it's not incomplete. There's still a dash at the end of that, you know. But what's going to happen? So God uses the strangest opportunities. So you think about these cards again, these names on these cards. We can get focused on that, but don't get too focused that you forget the people that you're passing by in each and every day life. That God may have you to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The trust that we have in what he's going to provide. Let us not forget that. Don't forget that. Let your speech, let your answer be ready in season, out of season. I don't know about you, but if I'm laying on a table with three nurses poking, prodding, and prepping me, I'm thinking about me. I don't want to confuse them about missing, I want their attention on me. So Peter opened up his mouth. And just to show just how powerful God's word is and what he's doing through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can use anyone. He can use each and every person in this room, and I know this to be a fact, because he used a ninth grade boy named Josh. Josh, 20 years ago, was in my youth ministry. And we went to this evangelism conference, How to Share Your Faith. Went through this acronym of gospel. You know, God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sin cannot be erased by good deeds. Paying the price, God sent Jesus to die. And everyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. And life with Jesus means we'll be with him forever. So you can say it in 2 minutes. That's what they said. And so he drilled the kids in the morning session and had them repeat and repeat. And I watched Josh in the third, fourth row. I'm behind him. I'm watching Josh. And he is just not paying attention. He's not paying attention. He's goofing around with the people around him. He doesn't know what's coming. Josh doesn't know what's coming because I know what's coming. And in my greedy little heart, I'm just kind of like, oh, it's coming. Because what they're going to do is they're going to release all of us throughout the town to go and share our faith with strangers. And Josh is in my group, him and another boy, and I'm the adult going to watch him. So we got stationed over at Poudre High School. Went over to Poudre High School, and there's a volleyball tournament going on for girls. And so I'm like, okay, Josh, Brian, you guys go ahead and go share the gospel with these people out here coming into the gym. I'll be over here praying. And I watch Josh. He's freaking out. He's got his cheat sheet just like on a note card like this, these 6 steps. And so he walks up. They're like, do you want to go to these two girls? These two girls are walking in to watch their friends play volleyball. So they walk up. They kind of barricade them and like, hi. And the girls are like, hi. And then and they keep in front of them. They're like, my name is Josh and I'm a ninth grader. Painful. I'm watching that 50 feet away. I'm not having fun anymore because they're really messing this thing up. And so I start getting closer and closer to them, getting closer within earshot to see what they're doing next. And I'm watching Josh just doing this. And I'm like, oh, this is so bad. This is so bad. And so I get closer. Now I'm like right on top of them. And so I hear him say, like, so would you like to pray to receive Jesus Christ right now for the forgiveness of your sins and know that you'll be forgiven forever and you'll be with Jesus forever? And the girl, they're older. These girls are older than these two boys. These two boys. And this girl, she says, you know, it's really interesting that you would bring this up because the friend that I'm going to go watch in there play volleyball, she's a Christian and she's been sharing her faith with me. And we've been reading through the Bible in the book of John for months now. And this is just a sign to me that I think I do need to pray to receive Jesus Christ. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Can't do this for him. This girl prays to receive Jesus, not because of the efforts and professionalism delivered by ninth grade Josh, but he made himself available. Her friend really made herself available, didn't she? Inside the gym, the months, the time that she spent loving this girl and reading scripture and answering questions. God can use all of our efforts, wise, and not so wise. You know, the beautiful thing that we get to see is Peter opens his mouth. The Holy Spirit just descends upon all these people. God's doing the work. Peter's making himself available. He's being obedient. He had to walk 31 miles out of his way to come. And think about that. 31 miles of walking, you know, here to Longmont-ish. You walk it and go find the person you're supposed to be sharing Jesus with. Peter does it. I'm so glad he did because it's changed history for you and me that are Gentiles. It's a beautiful story that Cornelius is doing here, that God is doing for Cornelius and his friends and his family. And they all receive the Holy Spirit and it's just a powerful moment. I can just see Peter at the end is as Steve and Janine read, you know, Peter says, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? He's looking at his six friends that came with him, the circumcised group that came with him from Joppa. They came in and he's looking like, man, you see what's happening here? We can't withhold them from getting baptized, right? Let's go. They're figuring it out as they go. And now they're all baptized. They all get baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they said, you need to stay with us here for a few more days. God wants people to be redeemed through the faithful witness of redeemed people. Let me say that again. God wants people to be redeemed through the faithful witness of redeemed people. God could have sent that same angel to Cornelius, you know, and just said, you know, share the gospel there and make it happen. God could have done it himself. But he chooses people. He chooses the obedient act of people whose hearts and lives have been changed. And Jesus got in there. It changes them. It changes them. And you can't help but to share the good news. God wants people to be redeemed through the faithful witness of redeemed people. So commit, not just pay attention to these cards, which are so important. And mine's starting to get a little bit wrinkled from looking at it all week in my Bible preparing for this. But commit your life to the gospel so you don't miss the people along the way. Commit your life to the gospel. Commit it once again. And some of us need to do that today. To confess some sin, to repent of ways that we've been thinking, our judgmental ways about one another, our judgmental ways about those who are on the outside of the walls of this place. We maybe need to do some confessing and repenting. Listen to this as the music builds in this big theatrical moment in chapter 11. Chapter 11, this story was so important, they retell it in chapter 11. Verse 17 and 18. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Peter's reporting this. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then the music builds. Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Why do missions begin? Because all people matter to God. All people matter to God. We are God's creation, each and every one of us. Those of us who are really smart, those of us who struggle, those of us who can drive cars, those of us who can't, those of us with doctorate degrees, those of us who don't even have a GED. Missions begins because all people matter to God. As I talked about that list, and I want you to pay attention to it, that keeps us from sharing the gospel. Pay attention to that. We're going to go into a time of communion now. And communion is for Christians to examine themselves before God and say, and to remember. It's a time of reflecting upon what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, for the world, what Jesus has done for the world. It's also a time of anticipation of waiting Jesus' return. So this is this communion act of taking a piece of bread and a piece of and some juice to drink is for people who identify with Christ. They are in Christ. He's in there. That's what communion is for. And Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. So if you have yet to receive Christ, you still have time to do so. You still have time to do so. At your seat, you can pray and repent of your lifestyle. Repent of your sin. As grave as it may feel, as grave as it may, as stinky as it may be. Remember, last week, Saul, as Wes preached, Saul drug men and women off into jail. He stood over Stephen being stoned to death and he gave approval. Jesus reached Saul. Jesus can reach you. He reached me. So let this be an opportunity for you to receive Christ today. And if you'd like to tell somebody about that, even better. If you want to come share with me, even better. I would love to pray with you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to examine your word and examine our hearts before you, the giver of all good things, the giver of life, the giver of eternal life found in Jesus. So in this moment now, as we examine ourselves, examine what you have provided, we ask, Lord, speak to us, and may we be responsive to your Holy Spirit guiding us in truth, and all righteousness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.